I present the prophet of the Almighty Baller.
Pat Riley, first of all, thank you for coming on the podcast, Pat. Who are you looking at in free agency? Who makes your mouth salivate?
First and foremost, I'm taking a run at Kevin Durant just to see what he wants. Like, you know, if you get Kevin Durant in the room with me, I could sell him on Miami. So, I'm taking
it. So, how realistic do you think that pickup is?
Wait, so are you Pat Riley right now?
I don't know. I thought I was. I'm trying to play the game. What do you want me to do?
Yeah, you're Pat Riley.
Yeah, it's Pat Riley. So how realistic do you think that pickup is, Pat Riley? That's the same question.
Oh, wait. No. I just wasn't sure if Harrison was playing along. You never know.
Harrison's Pat Riley.
Pat Riley's Harrison. Harrison, you're a good guy.
I mean, anyway, what's
anyway,
not...
Pat Riley, like, where would you put your odds on the 1 to 100 scale of grabbing Durant, like, getting him in that room and selling him on to Miami?
I mean, what's not to like about Miami? It's a wonderful city. We have great fans. We have a winning tradition. We have a great culture.
Great Coke.
We're the only team where LeBron James has won a championship before.
Good drugs.
And we can take the best players and put them in the best positions to win. So if you come and play for us, you can have the same success that we've had with many other players who have been in the Heat organization.
Let's say
if you want to step out of character for a bit, the odds of Durant coming to Miami are very slim. But I think the odds of Durant coming to Miami are much better if he takes a 1-1 and stays in OKC for a year. Like,
yeah.
That would put more chips in Riley's basket for a 2017 run where, man, if you want to get into stuff, I think Bosch will have to retire.
Yeah, you could have so much. That's where I'm coming. That is the same thought process that I think probably, yes, Mr. Riley, you are thinking right now, because he sort of has alluded to it a couple of times. I remember watching a video about Pat Riley being asked about free agency and stuff, and he explicitly said that he was looking towards 17-18 18-19 seasons. And I think that Pat Riley is thinking along the same lines of, yeah, potentially we could put together a really good team this year, but in 16-17, when we have all this money freed up, then we can really fuck some shit up.
Yeah, I mean, I think what the Heat are going to end up doing is they're going to make a big run at bringing Hassan. Like, listen, they'll sit in a room with Kevin Durant. I mean, they'll talk to Kevin.
Yeah.
If the suggestion is just like, go take a 1-1, because that was a suggestion that Pat Riley had made to LaMarcus Aldridge.
Yeah.
He wanted him to go take a 1-1 with Portland or any team and then come to the Heat after. Like, yeah. That was a big part of, because I think anyone will take a meeting with Pat Riley. I just think he has that way with people and they want to talk to him, even if it's just to pick his brain. So
even if it's just to get the free blow.
Yeah, I mean, true. Or just honestly, like, why not? Like, Riley just took advantage of him being a free agent. How often do you get to sit down with a guy who's coming into, like, his big free agency and be like, what are you looking for? Because all that evidence is just going to help you in the future, whether you sign the guy or not.
Right.
Like,
right.
Knowing what LaMarcus Aldridge was looking for will help Riley in future seasons recruiting free agents. So I think they're going to sign Whiteside at a lower rate than what other people were expecting. I think everyone thinks Whiteside's about the money because of, like, his route and where he played and that he was in Lebanon and China and that he was playing the YMCA in Charlotte.
Well, what's wrong with giving him a 4-year max?
Oh, I don't think there's anything wrong with it. I just think that he wants more flexibility, which is what they always want. Like, Goran Dragic could have gotten $108 million contract, but he took $85. It's kind of what the Heat do. They just have guys take less. Like, almost everyone has taken less to stay with the Heat. The only guy that didn't take less was Chris Bosh because they freaked out when LeBron left.
That's why you get that benefit of not having to pay income tax.
And plus, like, Houston, I think Daryl Morey, like, probably, I think Daryl Morey gives great blowjobs.
Oh, I'm sure
that's why they were worried.
I'm sure they offered Bosh the max in Houston.
Yeah, they did. I mean, so, they purportedly did. So.
Yeah, so I think it was more like, listen, Bosch is one of our favorite players. We could build around him, obviously, before all of this blood clot mess.
Which is terrible.
So
I hope that gets better.
I understand, you know, some of those signings Riley made don't look very good right now, but it was just kind of like, you know, the blowback of not thinking LeBron was leaving. So what I think that... So I think that he will sit in a room with Durant, even though that's unlikely. Like I'm saying, a one in one staying in OKC would give us a better shot in 2017. I think that he are going to bring whoever they can back from this team, maybe add a few more shooters and go at it again next year and wait to add in 2017 when the cap is supposed to go up another $20 million. Okay. Yeah. When they might have Bosch's $25 million off the books, because I believe he will have to retire. That's the theory I'm floating right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, you know, I think it's... What would you give that percentage-wise? I say there's like a 90% chance that's what's going to happen.
So what was happening for a while, or what I was reading, is kind of that Bosch had found a doctor that was kind of saying he could play, but it sounded like it was the doctor who works on the medicine that he takes for blood clots, which is kind of sketchy. So
yeah, that's what I heard too.
And finally, the Heat and Bosch came out with a joint statement, which hadn't happened, saying he will miss the rest of the playoffs. I really think like no one's going to let him play. So
yeah.
I think the Heat probably said, listen, we're not going to clear you if there's a chance that something tragic can happen.
Tragic?
I don't know if you know the story, but Spo was on the floor. Spo was the point guard in college when the college basketball player had the stroke and died on the floor. Like, Spo was right there.
I didn't know that. Thank you. That's fascinating.
Yeah, that probably says a lot about this Chris Bosh situation for sure.
Yeah, well, and Lux and I were talking about after that. Actually, this would be a pretty long aside. I'm just gonna put it in my nook of treasures that you, the listener, will have to come back for more. Keep them coming, rope a dope. You know,
that's enough for today. Float like a wait.
Float like a butterfly and sting like a.
It's like, did you watch the newest Game of Thrones?
Yeah,
no.
And the newest Game of Thrones is the part where they're like. About to reveal a plot point, a character literally is like, "That's enough for today," and they cut away to another thing, and it's like, "Oh my god!"
You know what
that's what you just did.
You know what I've been considering watching Simmons' show after Game of Thrones or whatever, and not watching Game of Thrones.
After the Thrones is good too, but you should also watch Game of Thrones because it's really good.
But that was Silicon Valley.
No,
the Chris Ryan and Andy Greenwald have after the Thrones.
The Ringer
show's good. That show's good.
No, watch... Don't do that. Don't spoil yourself. Watch The Thrones, and if you want to watch this show...
Yeah, watch the actual show.
Well, but wouldn't it be an interesting thought experiment?
Sort of, except that they spend like $15 million an episode. Tons of people work really, really hard to make that shit, so you should watch the show because they deserve your attention.
All right, it would be like similar to... how much could you know about basketball if you never watched a game, but you only listened to podcasts?
I mean, it definitely would be funny, but you'd have to be someone who's... You'd have to do that with someone who's never seen the show.
Yeah. I mean, like, I don't know, man. I'm just thinking out of my ass. If that's...
Well, you should watch the show because people work really hard to make really good stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a pretty good show. I mean, I agree with Lux. I think it's kind of stupid. There's so many characters sometimes that you don't really get much of any one character in one episode or every other episode because there's so many storylines.
But they're always dying off, so you need to keep them.
Yeah, but those storylines are slowly coming together. Like, this season's actually moving like a television show, only the last one, which was sort of like...
Yeah.
Moved like a dead person.
Yeah.
Dude, I swear, do you listen to a lot of podcasts, Harrison?
Not really. I listen to ours and maybe a couple others, but it's not... I like them, I just...
And mine?
I've never heard your guys before.
Hey, you, man.
Sorry.
Terra Incognita from my man.
You know, CBS, the Ion Basketball podcast?
No.
Oh, well, we were better than them for a while. Harrison...
Take that, Zach Harper.
I don't know what to do with this information. How do I, like, spin this in a way that's positive?
This, like, Spolestra thing?
We're sponsored by SeatGeek, Harrison. Yes. Do you understand what that means?
Yeah.
You heard right, almighty ball-in listener. We are now sponsored by SeatGeek, the premier ticket aggregator website that kicks the butts of Ticketmaster and other Ticketmaster-like sites... Because what SeatGeek does is they collect all the tickets, all the information from all of those other guys, get it all together into one site, and then they have this cool algorithm they invented called DealScore, which finds the best available price and the best available seat locations for a particular event. SeatGeek is available on your phone as an app. You can also go to SeatGeek.com and check them out there. And when you use the promo code Almighty, Almighty, you support the podcast, and better yet, you get $20 off your first ticket purchase. So thanks for listening. And if you want to help out Almighty Ball and the Almighty Podcast continue to give you the greatest basketball analysis and moderately funny jokes, then please go ahead, check out SeatGeek, use the promo code Almighty, create an account, type that in, and get your $20 rebate, which you can use however your heart desires. So thanks again. And also, don't forget our friends over at Fan Essentials. Use the same promo code Almighty to get 30% off your first order and also support the podcast. Yeah, and again, I want to thank all of you who decide to go do this and support us. I made this site from the ground up, and it's taken a lot of time and effort. And, you know, this is what I really love to do. And I love basketball, and I love you guys, the listeners. And I can continue to put the time and loving effort into it that it requires as long as you guys continue to support me and continue to listen to the podcast, continue reading our articles at almightyballer.com, and continue telling your friends, sharing us on Twitter, following us on Twitter, sharing us on Facebook, and just, you know, becoming part of the almightyballer.com community. And by the way, we recently changed our comments from an on-site comment service to Facebook comments, so go check out an article. Tell me what you think about it. There at the bottom, you can use your Facebook profile to leave a comment and start a discussion. So really, all of these things help us so much, help me so much. And with that, we'll go back to the podcast.
All right. Anyways, let's talk about the last question.
Pre-agency. I want to finish up that.
Okay. Is there anyone, your general idea, let's punt. Okay, that I think we've consensus agreed that that's the thing to do.
But part of punting too is signing the people who you do have right now to viable contracts, and maybe looking at a couple of sneaky grabs, like you know who I think is dope, Solomon Hill on the Pacers.
He's a nice player.
Yeah, I mean it wouldn't really change your cap flexibility to give him 6 over 4, 6 over 3, something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, you know? But the problem with this offseason is, like, there's not a lot of great free agents, and there's so many teams with money. Like, there's going to be money thrown at... Like, everyone was laughing last year. The first signings of last year's free agency were, like,
Aminu.
$7.5 million to Aminu and seven whatever to Ed Davis, and people were like, holy hell. First of all, like, those look like great signings now. Like, you know, kudos to the Blazers GM. Those are very good
signings. Neil O'Shea, man. That guy knows what he's doing. Ned O'Shea?
Yeah.
Neil?
And then, like, O'Shea, think about, I mean, there's just going to be guys that are making, like, guys that aren't that good are going to be making so much money with a $93 million cap. So,
Reggie Jackson is playing on a max contract.
Yeah. And it is,
well, that's what I'm saying. There's the NBA economics is weird because a lot of guys get max contracts without being max players, and then a lot of guys that would be worth a lot more can't get it because there's
it's going to be hard to scrounge for value in the next couple years.
Fair enough. I think so. I guess without, and it's hard for you to know this because a lot of this would be based on things like scouting and more in depth analytics than you know you are. Capable of, given your lack of a position as part of the
NBA front office.
Right. So, in the absence of any of those types of pickups, so, Joe Johnson, are you Pat Riley still? Can you put on your Pat face again?
Oh, don't ask me about Joe, man. I'm super biased against Joe.
Against him?
I just feel like if he's not going to spot up, or like be a bench player.
Well, okay. Hold on. Let's have this conversation. I'm gonna be Joe. You be Pat. Okay.
Okay.
And Lux can be Mrs. Johnson. all right, Pat. You know, I want to finish up my career here in beautiful Miami Beach.
I love Art Basel.
And you know, I understand you want to chase free agency, and I want to be part of a winner, too. So, here's the thing, all right? I do want a long-term contract so you guys don't just boot me to the wayside. But I'm thinking 3 years with a player option as the fourth, for $3 million. What do you think about that?
Oh, $3 million a season?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd do that.
That's what I see happening though. Like actually, because I mean, Joe Johnson has fuckboats of money.
I think for you, I'm telling you, you have to look at the economics. Like if he wants $3 mil a year, the Heat would do that. That's like that's what they gave Shane Battier, right? They gave him a three year $9 million deal. Like they'd do that. I think he'll want more though, and that's what I'm nervous about because I don't think he's worth that much more.
He just got done making so much money.
Right. I mean, listen, there are certain guys you would just hope would take. The guy I'm really worried about that I want the Heat to bring back, and I don't know if he will because he was having a really good playoffs before this Toronto series, was Luol Deng.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, okay. Based off of everything Luol Deng has said, I think that he's going to stay. The one intervening possibility as far as him leaving, and this brings up like a whole show. I don't know. A whole plethora of other questions. Right.
Yes, I was thinking too.
You took the Tibbs right out of my mouth.
Yeah, I mean, the reporter I like for Miami, Ethan Skolnick, said something like the Heat are going to have to build a wall.
Who doesn't like Skolnick, man?
They're going to have to build a wall between he and Tibbs.
Build a fucking wall!
Yeah.
Form a fucking
but
wall.
but truthfully, I don't think he's going to go back to playing for a guy that nearly killed him. Like, as much as he probably loves Tibbs, he ran Luol Deng into the ground, man. And
did you watch The Sopranos?
I've seen some episodes. I have not seen every episode of The Sopranos.
You know, Tony kept going back to his mother.
Yeah.
Even though she tried to kill him, so.
Yeah, I mean, listen, that would be a great signing for them.
is Luol Deng's mom?
The Timberwolves are the new Thunder, I think, is what's going to happen. Like, I think they're
Timberwolves are your new gods.
That's just going to be a fun team. Like, Karl Anthony Towns is probably already one of the best big men in the league, so.
The Timberwolves are the new Mewtwo.
No, okay, I like the Pokemon reference. I just, I really think, like, that's the new Thunder team. Like, the good young players that have, like, struggled, but will eventually get it together and make a nice playoff run and start being competitive. But
they're going to be destructive in a year.
I don't think the expectation that things go according to status quo, I agree 100%. If things go swimmingly, then yes. But I would not underestimate the Timberwolves' ability to shit the bed. That's all I have to say.
Tibbs is a good coach, man. He's going to get them playing defense. Like he's going to turn Andrew Wiggins into a really good defender, the defender that people expect him to be coming in.
I agree. I think it's going to work out. But it's not something that I'm so confident about that I would prophesize.
Oh, the West was weak this
year,
man. That's
my job. I've already been talking about how good the Timberwolves are going to be since before they signed Tibbs. That was the second article I wrote for the website, was about how good the Timberwolves are going to be.
No, I'd put money on the Timberwolves making the playoffs next year.
Oh, yeah, no doubt.
When the Timberwolves are good next year, I'm going to be writing about it all the time.
I don't know. The Rockets, though.
I want everyone on this podcast to know and acknowledge how awesome it is that I've had a Minnesota Timberwolves Christmas sweater since 2013.
So that is nice. So didn't they have like all-star Christmas sweater type things?
Yeah, that's when they came out, I grabbed the Timberwolves one because I was like, I'm feeling the Timberwolves.
Yeah, dude, those were future. Swag.
That's my profit work. I was like, I'm going to get this, and there's like, bam, Andrew Wiggins, bam, Karl Anthony Towns. It's like, oh, baby.
Bam, Thibodeau, Tibba-bam.
This sweater is going up in value every day that I stain it with curried chicken.
It's also going up in value because of your proximity to me.
Yeah, this sweater was near the profit of all.
Yeah.
It's got Kanye
air on it.
Hey, so Harrison, did you see Kanye's shirt that he wore to Kobe's last game?
No.
The I feel like Kobe shirt.
Are you wearing that now?
I am.
Yes.
I mean, that was fun to watch on TV, but I am not a Kanye West fan. Like.
Okay, this podcast is over. I'm just kidding.
I also like Kanye West, but we can move on. Okay, so then the next thing that I think is the logical follow-up is we were talking about like punting on this free agency, getting into next year. Do you think that within 2 years the Heat are like going to be a legit title contender?
I don't know.
So the Bosch thing threw a wrench in probably a lot of the plans they had. But yeah, I mean, Riley's rebuilt this thing so many times. Like, I think he'll do it again in 2017. I think they'll put together... 2017 is the, like, prize free agency class. I think they can... All right, here's my prediction for the Heat in the offseason, which will lead... I think Wade's going to come back on a three-year deal. I think they'll sign Luol Deng back for 3 years. I'm not a big Joe Johnson fan, but if he comes back in 3 years for a low salary, that makes sense. I think they'll sign Whiteside to like a $17-18 million per year deal.
I don't see that, man.
I know everyone says I'm crazy, but I don't think the difference in money is going to make that big of a difference to him. He loves it here. He's given a lot of respect.
He does. Players do take haircuts all the time on their deals. That's happened a lot.
Yeah. Okay. Here's my thing. The way in which I see that coming to fruition would be he sits down across from Pat and he's like, "Hey, I want like a full max, full years. I've never had a chance to make money. Gimme." And Pat Riley's like, "No, if you want a max contract, we will not do that, and you go somewhere else." Now at that point, right? Mm-hmm. I think, right? He's like, "Well, fuck you," and then gets up and leaves. But Pat Riley's like, "Oh, okay, right. Full max, here you go." The other possibility I see is Whiteside buckling to that because he goes home, he thinks about it for a little bit, he calls up DJ Khaled. DJ Khaled is like, "You're a major key to our future." And
right. He gets lost on his jet ski.
Yeah. And they go jet skiing for a bit.
And he's like, "Don't listen to they.
I'll compensate for the rest of your salary that's cut off your max in jet skis. Give you thousands of jet skis." Sort of like during the Khanates under Genghis Khan when they would just trade thousands of horses back and forth. It would be like that, except with jet skis. An economy of DJ Khaled jet skis created through Whiteside, and then Whiteside can open a jet ski sale shop.
I've like officially lost track if you're talking about basketball or like our inevitable post-apocalyptic future.
Truthfully, the only team that I could see like swaying a Whiteside would be somewhere where there's also no state income tax and they offer him the max, because if he gets offers the max in an LA or New York or something, like that's not as, you know, you're still, it's going to be pretty close to what the Heat offer with no income tax. Yeah. So a team like a Houston could jump in and
so
like,
are you saying he's going to sign with the Mavericks?
Are you saying he's going to sign with the Mavericks? He's not going to go to f***ing Houston, man.
See, I thought about the Mavericks, but I heard from a guy that the Mavericks don't really want him. I forgot who. That's I read it.
Enemy of the program, Tim Cato, the editor of Basketball.
He's our second-ranked enemy behind Michael Jordan.
Yeah, so we hate Michael Jordan, and we quote-unquote hate Tim Cato, the editor of Mavs Moneyball.
Okay.
I don't think you're allowed to put it in quotes when you're also the only one who says that.
I mean, like, God, I'm on the fence about this because, like, I mean, I don't actually hate him. It's just fun hating him for no reason. So, I don't know, whatever. Tim Cato, asshole, he said that, and he's sort of a Mavs insider, he said that the Mavs weren't interested in Whiteside on my podcast. Maybe you do listen to my podcast, Harrison.
I heard it from someone else. I don't recognize that name, but they said like something about
it. Sit down, Tim Cato. Ain't nobody know your name.
Yeah, suck it. You got 2,000 followers? I got 8,000.
Yeah, I mean, I heard that too. The thing why Houston I thought made sense is if they lost, I mean, I think Dwight Howard's leaving, so, you know, you kind of have a...
I don't know, man.
No?
I mean, Whiteside
yeah,
is...
Yeah, no, of course he's going.
Whiteside is sort of Clint Capella on steroids, for sure.
No, Capella. I like Clint Capella, too. He's a very good player, so, I mean...
I like Capella, too, but Capella just does the same stuff Whiteside does, just not quite as well.
Yeah, I mean, I just don't think he's... I don't think he's leaving Miami. He's a better singer. Like, I guess I could be Acapella. Wrong, but everything the guy said is basically, like, not a lot to deal with money. It's more about he wants to be comfortable. He wants to continue to get better. He said with the money, he would just be able to train better, eat better. Like, right side really wants to be the best.
I mean, you can also see this becoming another one of those, like, stories of Pat Riley and his boys, you know? Like, there's this dude who, like, couldn't get a chance, and Pat Riley took a flyer on him and schmoozed him up. And now Pat Riley is just, like, his basketball dad, and he's not going anywhere.
Basketball dad.
And, like, that happens.
Yeah, no one leaves the Heat except for LeBron, so...
Yeah, and I mean, that sort of even happened to Dwayne Wade. Like, Dwayne Wade's never considered leaving. I think that's largely because he's been one of Riley's basketball children.
I mean, part of it also is because the Godfather will send someone to your...
Yeah.
Right, and you wake up with a horse's head, or like a dolphin's head, because it's Miami, in your bed.
Yeah, but like Riley would probably put a hit on someone, so...
Yeah.
But the point is, I really do think...
Do you think Pat Riley paid Kelly Olynyk to pull Kevin Love's arm out of his socket?
No, but I was...
Calls up his Boston connections.
I wasn't really sad about it. Kevin Love is not a player that I really like.
But I do think that Harrison's right about him taking this pay cut just off the chance of him just being one of Pat Riley's boys, you know? Like, that happens all the time.
Pat Riley has convinced me as to the possibility of it, but I think that probably he's going to get a full max. And I think he deserves it, you know? And I think there is, with Whiteside, a substantial, like, you know, he gets his big contract, parties a little too hard, gets a little tubby, a little thick around the edges, isn't as good for a couple years. That whole type of Bargnani thing, I think there's potential for that, but not as strong potential as I would assume that most people think there is.
I think that with ground away in Lebanon and in all those other places, I think he might have enough perspective. And, like, it sounds like all the interviews with him, for sure, that his head's in the right place as far as, like, that not really being a high likelihood outcome.
Well, I think a secondary reason, we started talking about, you know, we were kind of shaky on Whiteside before the turnaround. At least people I talked to on the Heat were kind of shaky about Whiteside before the turnaround in the second half. A secondary reason to make sure to lock him up is really just value. If for some reason you sign him and he starts to maybe not play as well or gets, you know, a little egotistical or something, like, just having him locked up, he has value to another team, right? Like a player that can do the things that Whiteside can do.
Yeah,
so,
absolutely.
So
someone will...
Someone would bite if it went south. I think, like, because of the Chris Bosh uncertainty, you need to start having some value, some pieces, like, on your team. And that's going to be a reason why I think they also try to bring Whiteside back. Like, obviously, they want his talent. They want his game. They think they can harness this and make him... you know, Spo had a meeting with him before the second half saying he thinks he's one of the top 15 talents in the league. Whether he believes that or not, like, that's what was said.
I might believe that.
And he just really wants this guy to be the best that he could possibly be.
Yeah.
So that's what they're, you know, they think they can really turn this guy around and they could build around him with or without Bosch. So that's, you know, they're going to do their best to bring him back. I really think the Heat are going to try to bring this team back, get a few more shooters, and try to go after LeBron again next year. And they'll go from there. And they'll try
go to... Go after LeBron again?
No. Like, to, what do you call it? To try and beat them, not...
Oh.
Yeah.
That would be so funny.
Yeah,
what if LeBron wanted to go back?
That would be so funny.
I don't want LeBron back on my team. I don't think Riley does either. Everyone else does, but I'm tired of him and his shtick.
Harrison, let me ask you a question. So based on that information, were you dropped on your head? You don't want LeBron? You say no to LeBron? What's wrong with you?
No, I mean, I just don't like all the stuff you have to go through with LeBron. Like, all right, great.
You mean championships?
Yo, man, it's like the way he left Miami, the way he, you know, tried to fuck us over. I'm tired of LeBron.
How did he fuck you guys over? I don't know.
He did just sort of not tell anyone then dip.
Well, he told Dion Waiters he was coming to Cleveland before he told anyone else he was leaving Miami.
Yeah, I don't know.
He crafted that bullcrap letter that, you know, where he already knew who was going to get traded for whom. And it was all about, you know, he wanted to run a team. He wanted to be liked again. So here he is.
Well, it's like that Jay-Z lyric. I'm not a businessman. I'm a businessman. I'm not a businessman. I'm a businessman. So,
man,
like,
I'm a businessman.
Damn. Pardon me, I had to laugh at that. I mean, LeBron's doing stuff in the background. He's the puppet master. And
making moves, doing
Riley
things.
Just doesn't like him because he's a competitive puppet master and they were getting their strings intertwined. Metaphor completed. Strings. Puppets.
Now, I feel like I don't think LeBron really appreciated what Miami did for him. Like, obviously, Miami's not winning championships without LeBron, but I also think LeBron wasn't winning championships without Miami. And I don't think he really understood that. You know, it looks all great now. You know, they've swept through the Eastern Conference and they're looking pretty and they can't miss a three. But I don't think they're winning this year. And I don't know if LeBron will ever win, especially with the Warriors the way they are. And the Warriors could get better next season. Like, that's what's so scary about that team. Like, they haven't even reached their peak yet. And they won 73 games.
Dude, I've been seriously considering the idea that, I mean, they could win 75 wins. Like, I could see them in, like, 3 or 4 years having a 75-win season. I wouldn't be,
my thing with the Warriors is the distinction, the question of, like, how much of this is sheer talent distinction and how much of this is ahead-of-the-league scheming questions. Because, like, slowly but surely teams are catching up on that back end, and then it becomes a question of, like, how much of the talent separation exists. Which I think is a viable question.
Yeah, I mean...
Because the cap... Whatever.
No, I don't think they're going to win more than 73 again because of the toll it took on them this season. Like, there's no reason to win that many. Like, okay, so you broke your own record. Big whoop. But that team...
Jordan's 75 would be fucking crazy.
Jordan's 72 win season was the first year he came back after baseball, right?
Yeah.
Okay, correct. So I could see, like, the sort of, like, 31, 32-year-old resurgent Curry team doing it. I think, like, for the next few years, they won't shoot for anything above... I mean... They won't shoot for anything above 60, but we'll probably get 66 or something like that. Yeah. But, I mean, I think in a few years, you know, when... How about you know, after they get knocked out of the Western Conference Finals by the Timberwolves, the year after that, they come in, win 75 wins, and win the championship.
It is this it is this question of, the other thing is, the biggest way in which the league, or at least one of the biggest ways in which the league is, you know, having the Warriors in mind as a model, both to emulate and defend against in the draft, in terms of prioritizing players and skill sets and different versatilities, things like that. There's a lot of players just in mock drafts now who are like, definitely wouldn't have been considered in the top 20 if Draymond Green wasn't Draymond Green, you know? For instance, same with Buddy Hield being in the top 10, so it's clear reputation Steph Curry stuff. But the question is how long until the league catches up personnel-wise, or, you know, are they just going to keep ransacking everyone because it's going to take everyone 5 years to build through the draft, and by the time they're any good, the Warriors will be like, well, we already burned your kingdom and stole all your championships, we're done already.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, unanswerable question, obviously, but it's an interesting one to look at going forward.
So, Harrison, make the point that you were about to make, and then I got a statement and a question for you, and then we'll wrap up. So,
okay. I mean, that's an interesting question Lux poses. I really do think the Warriors are head and shoulders above everybody else. You know, I really think it's like, it's the Warriors are way, way up there, and then it's the Spurs and the Cavs and the rest of the league. I think the Spurs wound up beating the Thunder in the series. So, it might take a while. Like, the Warriors, when healthy, are so good, and people usually just talk about their offense, but their defense is ridiculous. And the way that Draymond Green can defend almost anyone is really tough for other teams to combat.
The fucked up thing about that is because everyone talks about the way that Draymond Green can cover anyone, but like Klay Thompson can cover anyone.
Yep.
Harrison Barnes can.
Yep.
And Andre Iguodala can.
Steph's a completely underrated defender, though.
Oh, yeah. Right. No, he absolutely is.
Well, Steph is a good testament to what we were talking about in the car with how modern NBA defenses allow like intellect and coaching to make a big difference in terms of individual defense. And Steph's definitely not the kind of athlete or even who would have been able to hang with point guards as recently as like 5 or 6 years ago. But with the new NBA defenses, he's able to just put his brain to work and he's so f***ing smart.
Yeah, right. I think his hand-eye coordination and his motor skills and stuff.
And his crazy brain.
Yeah, and his crazy Steph brain.
Yeah, make him a premium defender in this sort of more modern defense age. I think that's 100% on point.
Okay, all right. So, a question and a statement to close out the podcast. My statement... After these birds start f***ing chirping. I hate birds. Oh my god, okay, alright. Whatever, we'll just ignore them. So, statement, okay? Mario Chalmers, Heat Hall of Fame. Okay? One of the best ever in the uniform, okay?
Oh man. That's a statement or a question?
It's a statement. It's a fact.
Oh, I hate Mario Chalmers.
Oh, I love Rio.
I love Mario.
Nah, he was like the dumbest person I've ever watched play basketball.
Mario Chalmers was on the court the time that I shattered a beer glass in a bar in DC watching the Thunder play the Heat in the finals.
Story's been referenced 4 times for those of you at home who are counting. Not that that's a problem. It's a great story.
It's just like they put in Kendrick Perkins and I got so mad I broke a glass.
Rio was great in Game 4 for the Heat when he scored 25 points and helped LeBron after he cramped up from all the HGH, but
shots. Boom.
Otherwise Rio was a pretty frustrating player for 7 years who really didn't get much better in his time in Miami, in my very humble opinion.
Okay, and then the question. Okay, final question. All right, why is the Heat logo so shit, but your jerseys are the best in the league?
You don't like what's just like you don't.
It's
enjoy
a flaming
the...
basketball going through a hoop. That's so dumb.
I mean, what else should it be? Would you like our mascot? You like Bernie?
Yeah.
Okay.
He's cool.
I actually don't like all the jerseys. I wish they went back to some of the original jerseys.
I like the all white ones and the all black ones. Those are swag. I think they've got some.
Yeah,
really cool
but this
ones.
Year with the back in black, and we had so many jerseys this year, and they're all garbage.
I kind of like them.
Harrison, I mean, listen, they make good money, so good for the Heat.
I've got one last question. So just get back to these playoffs. You think the Heat are gonna pull the series out? You think it's gonna be 6 or 7 to get this win? And first of all, you think it's gonna be in 6 or 7 to beat the Raptors?
I mean, you want prediction podcast? I think
Where were you at with this?
We're all about prophecies here.
It's tough. I mean, I think we could easily win the next two and do 6. I said Heat in 6 before the series started. I could also see it going 7, but I think we're going to win. I think we're better than the Raptors. On the West, I think the Spurs will take it in 6. I haven't seen the game tonight, so I hope it's not a blowout and they're getting. So I think Spurs and Warriors, Heat and Cavs, I think if Whiteside doesn't play, the Cavs would beat us in like 5 games. But I'll obviously hope we can battle them a little more.
I don't know, man. They just swept the Hawks. The Heat without the Heat without Whiteside, I don't think are actually. Yeah, I think that they're worse than the Hawks, maybe by a whole tier.
Yeah, but we match up better with the Cavs than, you know, Luol Deng's always done a decent job on LeBron James. Wade will play out of his mind playing against LeBron. It's more about if we're going to hit shots, which, you know, we haven't really proved to be to doing in this series, but whatever. 5 is what I'm hoping for. It could be worse.
All right. Well, hey.
Yeah.
Well, let's go to the finals real quick.
Yeah, I thought Warriors would probably win in 6 or 7 against the Spurs, and I think the Warriors would beat the Cavs in... Man, I think they're so much better than that.
We're going to Game 7, baby! Game 7! Game 7!
Game 7! We're going to Game 7!
Nah, I think they'd win in like 5 or 6. I don't think it's going to be that long of a series.
All right, though. So then we got the Heat beating Lousy and DeRozan in Toronto.
Wait, what do you call him? We call him DeFrozen.
Lousy and DeRozan.
Oh, DeFrozen. Yeah. I've been going Lousy and DeRozan. Oh.
DeChokesen.
But either way, they've been garbage buckets. It's been a real fucking letdown for me.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think I generally agree with that assessment of how things are going to go down.
Yeah. So Harrison, actually, if your name even is Harrison, what's your name again?
Harrison.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know, but I'm getting him to say his name for the listeners. What's your name?
Oh, sorry, my full name, or what do you need?
I mean, what do you want people to know?
Well, it's fine. My name is Harrison Citrin. My Twitter is, I'm at HLCYTRYN, and you can follow my stuff. It's mostly basketball and maybe some negative Donald Trump stuff. Otherwise, it's...
Hey, we don't get political on this podcast.
Sometimes we do. I talk about capitalism a lot.
Yeah, we do get very political. So, I guess it makes sense for a Heat fan to be feeling the burn.
Yeah, I do feel the burn.
Did you get it?
Yeah, I did.
Come on, man. Great. Okay, cool. So, where can they find you on Twitter?
Yeah, HLCYTRYN, at HLCYTRYN.
And where can they find your writing?
I write for HeatBeatMiami.com. We're an up-and-coming website. We've only been around for... We just did the reboot this maybe 6 months ago, so we got a lot of good content, a lot of good writers. So if you're interested in Heat-related stuff, or sometimes Miami interesting articles, we did something about the Cuban...
Missile crisis.
No, the Cuban... I don't remember. It was a good article. I just can't remember what
it was
about.
Was it about the sandwich? I love that sandwich.
The Cuban sandwich is delicious. I think it was about going to Cuba. It might have been about the cruises, so... yeah, check us out, heatbeatmiami.com.
Yeah, and listen to their podcast. It's great. I'm going to have John Carlos on Thursday. This is Tuesday, but I get out the podcast in chunks, so, like, you know, we'll see. I don't know, man. So, Harrison, thanks for coming on. You've been listening to Almighty Ball and the Almighty Podcast. Presented by
Fan Essentials and SeatGeek.
SeatGeek on Fleek.
Ha ha.
For both sites, use promo code Almighty. And Harrison, I got one last question for you.
Shoot.
Why don't you listen to the fucking podcast, man? What's your problem?
I'll definitely check it out. And I like listening to myself, so I'll listen to this podcast.
It's a good starting point. You gotta start somewhere.
We're famous, all right?
No, I believe you. I believe everything. That's why I came on. I was trying to boost my own product, so.
Yeah. There's nothing says credibility like Oliver Maroney. But then, after Oliver, then nothing says credibility like almightyballer.com. Check us out. Read our stuff. Listen to the podcast. Listen to the podcast that you're listening to right now. If you've just been hearing it, but it's been going through your ears and out the other one, then listen right now. Because I'm here to tell you that the podcast is over, so you can turn it off and change it to a new one. Or turn on Beyonce's new album. Or go talk to your parents, your loved ones.
Yeah.
You know, call your mom.
I'm going to go have dinner with my girlfriend.
Hey.
Nice.
That's great.
Yeah.
Dude.
Yeah.
We have a saying here at almightyballer.com.
Do we?
Ball is life, but also life is life. You know?
Yeah, I like that motto. Life is life. Yeah. It should be a bumper sticker.
It's the full thing. Like, quote start, ball is life, but also life is life. Quote end. Yeah. Okay. So, hey, thanks for listening, and thanks for coming on, Harrison. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks a lot, man. Thanks for listening, listeners. Y'all are so good.
You've been wonderful.
Yes. Mission accomplished.
All right,
cool. I'm Lux. You can find me at ML Surfboard. Some cool stuff, as usual, is coming soon, and I'll give you more details about cool stuff as it goes live.
Yeah, and follow at Almighty Prophet on Twitter, and like the Facebook page, almightyfollower.com, and that is it. We are closing out.
Shout out to you.
All right. Cool.